All right, take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 5.
Ephesians chapter 5, we continue with our... considering right now the role and responsibility of a wife and a mother in that home, as we've considered a man's responsibility in his exercise of leadership, and we now consider a wife's responsibility. Last week, we introduced and started talking about the first issue of submission. Ephesians 5 and verse 22 says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands." And we talked about how this submission that God is talking about here is not a matter of superior versus inferior, as if a husband or a man is superior to his wife and the wife is inferior, so she needs to submit. It's not the same sense either as children obey your parents in the Lord or servants are subject to their masters. It's not the same word. It's not the same sense. In God's economy, in God's mind, a man and a woman are equal and of value in God's eyes. Yet, for the sake of function, for the sake of God's design and God's plan, there has to be leadership. And God has designed that a man is to lead in his home, and God's design is that a wife submits to her husband. And so this submission is not something of superior versus inferior. It's not the same sense as children obey your parents, although a wife is to be in obedience to her husband. God commands this submission, but this submission is a willful submission. It is a choice that a wife makes to willingly submit herself to her husband in obedience to God's commands. And to resist that is to resist God. To be in rebellion against that is rebellion against God. And so we're going to talk today on this same subject, willful submission, but we're going to ask two questions. How does that happen, first of all? And secondly, what does that actually look like in practical living and day-to-day living in a home, in a marriage? Let's pray and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd bless now. Lord, I pray that you'd give me clarity of thought and mind. Father, give understanding as well of your word. And Lord, may we be doers of the word and apply God's principles and endeavor to always apply God's truth and God's principles in our daily living. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's begin reading in verse 22, Ephesians 5, 22. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Skip down to verse 33. "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." We're going to consider three different things this afternoon in answering these two questions. How does this submission happen, and what does it actually look like? And what we're going to consider is the ability for submission, the activity of submission, and then the attitude of submission. First of all, consider with me the ability of submission. The ability comes, first of all, from being filled with the Spirit of God. This instruction given by the Apostle Paul to wives submitting to her husbands is in the context of verse 18, which says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Being filled with the Spirit of God is the key to the ability, number one, for a wife to submit to her husband, and number two, for a husband to love his wife. Having the Spirit of God filling us and controlling us is the key for that ability. What are the marks of being Spirit-filled? Well, this context here gives us the marks of someone who is filled with the Spirit. Those marks are the Spirit of God manifests itself, or being controlled by the Spirit of God manifests itself in three different areas. In the personal heart, it manifests itself in our attitude toward God, and then also towards others. You can see in verse 18, where he says to be filled with the Spirit. But then he says in verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. What is a mark of someone who's filled with the Spirit of God? Well, singing in the heart. That's something that's personal inside of the heart from what God is doing in your life. A mark of someone who's filled with the Spirit is somebody who's thankful. Verse 20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Being thankful, this is something that is toward God for His faithfulness and His goodness. So we've got two marks or evidences of someone who's filled with the Spirit. Singing and making melody in your heart, that's a personal thing. Joy for what the Lord is doing in the heart. Being thankful unto God for His faithfulness and for His goodness. But then verse 21 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Another mark of someone who's filled with the Spirit is submission. This is the outworking of the Holy Spirit of God towards others. So you've got the personal, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You got the thankfulness toward God, but then there's submission towards others. And these are marks of being filled with the Spirit. But then Paul gives an example of being filled with the Spirit of God in verse 22. He says, here's how it works. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. An example he gives here, and we're talking about the ability to submit to a husband, is by being filled with the Spirit of God. He says, wives, submit to your husbands. Again, this is not an inferior versus superior thing. The Greek word submit here is the Greek word huptasso, and it's a military term. And it's a term that means to arrange under in rank. And just like there's a chain of command in the military, this is the idea and the understanding of how this submission is to work, to arrange under in rank, in order, to provide order and structure. This submission to a husband is not something that is restrictive or of subservience. A wife is still her own person. She still has her own abilities and her own thinking, but it's a personal choice that is made to arrange under in rank for order, for structure, because God commands it. But it's a choice that a wife makes to obey it. This submission is willful submission. Note how verse 22 says, submit yourselves as unto the Lord. Here's the willful in the matter of obedience, in the matter of choice, where it comes into play. Submit yourselves as unto the Lord. As you would submit to God, you need to submit yourself to your husband. Colossians chapter 3, look over there with me. Colossians 3, verse 18 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Remember last week we talked about what this word fit means? It means proper. As it's proper in the Lord. It's right. How are we? So we find here that this submission is to be willful, but it's to be done as unto the Lord. How are we to submit to the Lord? What is the attitude as Christians that we are to have towards God in submitting to His will? I mean, is it like, oh great, I got to obey the Lord again. I got to submit to God again. You know, that attitude of submission to God is one of willfulness and cheerfulness. It should be. I cheerfully and willfully submit myself to the Lord because it comes from a heart of love and devotion to God. That's how we're to submit to the Lord. And that is God's design in the home and in the family. That a wife is to willfully submit herself cheerfully and willfully to her husband's leadership. And to resist that is to resist God. See, submission is foundational for everything, because the fact of the matter is everybody must submit on some level or other. God works through established authority. Therefore, there must be submission. Submission to your husband, ladies, is a mark of being filled with the Spirit of God, being controlled by the Spirit of God through His ability. Now, some might think, well, I'm not married, so this doesn't really apply to me. But the truth of the matter is, if you say you want to get married, and you probably should, but if you want to, this definitely applies. There's a lot of people who start out behind the eight ball, if you will, in married life because they didn't apply God's truth, God's principles in their life beforehand. And the truth is, we all have to submit on some level. And if you're not married and you have problems with submission and problems with authority right now, guaranteed those problems are going to be magnified when you find a spouse. So it applies to everyone, whether we think it does or not. The ability to submit comes from the Spirit of God, but I want to talk mostly about the activity of submission and the attitude of submission this afternoon. Verse 24 gives us an idea and an understanding of what the activity of submission is. Verse 24 says, therefore, we always go back and find out what it's there for, right? Right? So verse 23 says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in most things. Is that what that says? No, it says, as the church is subject unto Christ, let the wife be to her husband in everything. Here is the activity of submission. This word everything is the Greek word pos, and it means all, it means every, it means the whole, it means whatsoever. So God's word is becoming very, very explicit here and very straightforward. A wife is to submit herself to her husband in all, in every, in the whole, in whatsoever, in everything. Just as the church is subject unto Christ. At what point is the church allowed to say to Christ, okay, well, we're not going to follow you now. I know this is what you want, but we're not going to do that. We would never, as a church, we would never say, there are some exceptions to that rule when we choose. No, we would say, no, we need to submit to the Lord, to Christ in every area that He says. This is the same kind and this is the same manner in which a wife is to submit to her husband. Just like the church is subject unto Christ. The first thing we need to understand, though, is that this activity of submission is about putting God first. Putting God first. As the church is subject unto Christ, that is the key. And the only exception, if there was an exception, the only exception for a wife not submitting to the leadership of her husband is if her husband wants her to do something that would be dishonoring to the Lord or being disobedient to God. Because we need to put God first. But here, this text sort of seems to take for granted that there will never be a case where God will call upon a wife to disobey her husband. He doesn't give any exceptions. He says, in everything, in the whole, in every part, whatsoever. And a wife is to be subject to her husband just as the church is subject to Christ. And what exception is there for the church and Christ? There is none. Everything means all matters, the whole, whatsoever. In everything, subject unto the husband, in everything means, ladies, that you cannot create loopholes to dodge the commandment of the Lord. God knows that we're all prone to try to dodge the difficult commands in the Bible because they're not comfortable or they're hard. And many wives would say, well, you know, I would submit to my husband if he would just love me as he should. But how can I submit to him when he's so selfish and so insensitive? Pastor, you just don't know my husband. Well, you're right. I probably don't know him like you do. But you married him. And this is God's command. And God doesn't say that only when you feel like it, or only when he's loving you like he should, are you to submit to your husband. God's command says to submit in everything. And there's no loopholes that we can create to dodge that commandment. The fact of the matter is, I probably know that your husband is selfish and insensitive. Because I am also selfish and insensitive at times. But just like God's command to love a wife is not only when she is lovable, God's command to submit is not only when he's loving you like he should. It's in everything. It even includes religious matters. And we'll talk about several things here. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll play out some scenarios just to give us an understanding of what everything means. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, in verse 34, "Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church." This word "speak" here means to preach or to teach. So it's not saying it's a shame for a woman to use her voice in the church. The word specifically means to preach or to teach. But the context here of a woman speaking or preaching or teaching in the church, the context is verse 33 of this same chapter. Look at verse 33. "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." It's confusion for a woman to speak or to preach or to teach in the church. And so what we're saying is she's commanded, and the Bible says here, she's commanded to be under obedience to her husband. And so this everything, being submissive in everything, includes religious matters. So even though we're putting God first, we must realize that that includes, God's will includes being submissive to your husband. For example, I knew of a case once where a husband and a wife, you know, they maybe weren't spiritual giants, let's say. They were growing. And the wife was even at a higher level, spiritually speaking, than her husband. And she had this desire to be obedient to God in the matter of tithes. And it was in her heart to give to the Lord and give to the work of the Lord and to tithe and so on. But her husband wasn't as committed. He wasn't quite on the same page. And he may have had some growing to do. Maybe he would tithe sporadically, or maybe he would give a partial tithe here and there and so on. But he wasn't a faithful tither, and it was in his wife's heart to give to the Lord and to tithe. And she had this desire to do so. And knowing that he wasn't there and he wouldn't do it faithfully, what she did, in her zeal and desire to give to the Lord, she would take money out of his pockets at the end of a day or whatever, and she would hold on to that money and she would tithe and she would give it to the Lord. Husband found out about that and said, "Don't do that." And here she was now faced with this position. Should I keep taking money secretly, sneaking it from my husband so I can give it to the Lord, or should I obey his wishes and not do that? In God's economy, in God's standard, the right thing for this wife to do was to submit to her husband. It's wrong. It was wrong for her, even in her desire to give to God, it was wrong for her to take that money from her husband in a sneaky manner just to give it to the Lord. the Bible principle that goes, well, what do you make of that, Pastor? Here she wants to do right and her husband's not doing right. She just wants to please God. Well, according to Numbers chapter 30, in a situation like that, God knows her heart. God knows that she wants to do right. He also knows the husband, and God will hold him accountable for that situation and not her. Her responsibility is to submit to her husband's leadership. I've known of cases as well where, you know, a wife is busy serving in the church. She's got routine church work and so on. She's got ministries that she's involved in and so on. And maybe she's more committed than her husband is in those things. And a wife, you know, has these responsibilities to do these routine church work things, but her husband says, no, I want you to be at home. There are duties at home that I want you to attend to. It's wrong for a wife to say, well, honey, I have to serve God first. I have these routine church things to do, when she's got duties and responsibilities at home. I knew of a case once. We were busy, very, very busy in preparation for camp. And I had all kinds of helpers, you know, on various levels, helping with projects and doing these things. And some of them were married, some of them not. Kara was involved in many of those over the years. And one night, we were working at the church, getting ready for camp, and we had all these things to do. We were building sets for the junior camp, and all this, and a wife, a couple of the wives and other people were there working too, and this wife got a phone call from her husband. Where are you? It was pretty late at night. I think it was probably around 10, maybe after 10. Where are you? I want you to come home. And she's like, oh, okay, well, we're really busy. We're really busy. You know, I'll be home in a little while. Hangs up the phone. She keeps on working and so on. It gets getting to be probably closer to 11 now. Another phone call. Where are you? I want you home now. I could hear it on the other end. And I'm like, you need to go. We'll get this done. We'll get this taken care of. You've got some responsibilities. You need to go home. A wife might think that she's pleasing God in those routine service things, but in reality, she's actually disobeying the Lord if it's contrary to her husband's desire. There have been times when, you know, a saved wife is coming to church. She's born again and she has trusted Christ and her life is changing and she's attending church and she wants to join the church, but she's got an unsaved husband who's not coming to church who refuses to let her get baptized and join the church. What should she do? In a case like that, God's will is for her to be obedient and submissive to her husband. Look with me over at 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And look at verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation or the lifestyle of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting the hair or of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Here we find a situation where there's a saved wife and an unsaved husband, and the Bible says that a wife is to be in subjection to her husband, that if any obey not the word, they may be won. Salvation could come because they observe the chaste conversation of a submissive wife. And her beauty shouldn't be so focused on the outward, But the hidden man of the heart he sees as beautiful, and it's also in the sight of God well-pleasing. There have been times when that has happened. A wife wants to be baptized. She wants to join the church, but the husband is in refusal. And the counsel is not, oh, you should disregard your husband because you need to obey God. The counsel is, you need to live a godly life in front of your husband. Submit to his leadership. And in time, Lord willing, he'll get saved, or at least God will change his heart. And then you can join the church. See, what I'm saying is, and what the scriptures are saying, in everything, a wife is to be submissive to her husband. It even means spiritual, religious matters. Submission, though, does not imply passivity. And what I mean by that, a submissive wife, even though she's submitting to her husband, if it's in these spiritual matters, he may not be on the same page as her. He may be doing wrong. A submissive wife, though, may actively try to influence her husband for God, as 1 Peter chapter 3 implies. It implies that her influence and her godly life can win him to the Lord. The wife whose husband is disobedient to God is not told to be passive and not influence him, but rather she's told how she should influence him with her quiet and meek and gentle spirit. And so it doesn't mean passivity. It doesn't mean her submission doesn't mean to be passive, but she can influence him, but in a godly manner, in a godly way. Secondly, submitting to your husband in everything includes submission in thoughts, in words, and in deeds. Submission and respect, ladies, begins in the thought life. It begins in the heart. It begins in how you think towards your husband. Let me ask you the question. Are you running your husband down or complaining about his shortcomings in your heart and in your mind? Or are you thankfully focusing on the positives and the strengths and the qualities? Are your words encouraging? Are your words affirming? Are your deeds supportive? Are your deeds responsive? This submission begins in the heart and in the mind. And so it includes thoughts, words, deeds. It also includes the physical life. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. In everything includes, means religious matters. It means submission in thoughts, in words, and in deeds. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Look with me in verse 3. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. But I speak this by permission and not of commandment, for I would that all men were even as I myself. But every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner, one after another, and after that, excuse me. And so Paul says here that this submission in everything includes the physical life. He says the wife doesn't have power over her own body, but the husband. And likewise, the husband doesn't have power over his, but the wife. And so this submission means to submit to your husband with your body. It means in the physical life, it talks about it. It means the general characteristics of how we live from day to day. For example, like how a wife ought to direct the home. When the husband is gone, when he's working, a husband and wife need to be on the same page. But the husband is the one who sets the standard. The husband is the one who takes that leadership and gives that instruction, there might be a time, listen, ladies, when a husband feels like, hey, you know what? You've been gone an awful lot this week. You've been gone too much doing this and doing that. I need you to stay home and I need you to be working on this. Oh, well, I got this to do and I've got that to do and you don't understand. I've got all these other things I need to do. What should the right response be? Yes, sir. No, it's as unto the Lord. Okay, honey, you know what? You're right. I've been gone an awful lot and there are things that need to be done here. You're right. And in agreement, willfully submitting, cheerfully submitting to her husband's leadership. Maybe it comes to spending money. Well, you buy this for yourself, and you do this, and you do that, and you know what? Listen, ladies, this everything means submitting to your husband's leadership when it comes to spending money. Sometimes it's the husband who's the problem spender. Maybe he should submit to his wife sometimes when it comes to that. But what about controlling the children? How to raise the children? Sometimes parents are not on the same page when it comes to discipline. How are we going to train our children? Sometimes there are things, you know, that a husband feels like is a big deal, but a wife doesn't. You know, there might be a certain situation where mom says, well, this is not a big deal. And you know, but dad really feels like this is a big deal. And maybe you don't see it the way I see it, but I don't like this. And mom could be like, oh, well, you're just making a big deal out of it. You know, it's innocent. It's nothing. But in dad's mind, it is something. What should the response be? You're right, honey. If you know what, I may not see it exactly the same way, but I'm going to abide by your wishes. And I understand where you're coming from. It would be wrong for a wife in a situation like that. You know, when dad's not around, we'll just let this slide. We'll just let this go. I'll let the kids do this. I'll let the kids do that. But when dad's home, that's not submission. That's what that is actually self-will, wanting my own way. And that's not willful, cheerful submission to leadership. A godly wife is willing to submit to what her husband prefers. And it's wrong for her to allow that sort of thing when he's not around. Why? Because it undermines the authority of the husband and only reveals her selfish spirit. In everything means the physical life as well. Maybe it comes to, or means, or concludes a way a wife dresses. In everything means the whole. It means in every part. It means whatsoever. Maybe there's a time or two when wife has something on and husband says, honey, you know what? I just think that's too tight. Or honey, that neckline, it's plunging too low. Or that skirt's just a little bit too short. Honey, I don't think you should wear that. I know what things like that do to men. And I don't think that it's appropriate or right. And it might be borderline. It might, you know, you might make a good case where it's not even that really big of a deal. But he prefers. He says, honey, I don't think you should do that. A submissive and a godly wife is going to say, okay, honey, you're right. I trust you. And I know that you love me. And that you're only looking out for my well-being and my good. Maybe it means even the company that she would keep, the friends that she would have. What if husband came and said, hey, honey, you know what? I don't really think that those people are a very good influence. There probably needs to be some separation, some distance. Well, they're my friends. I can't just abandon my friends. in everything means whatsoever. It means the whole. It means every part. A godly, submissive wife is going to understand that submission then, it's not something that, you know, it's arbitrarily restrictive and I just have to, oh, got to obey my husband. No, it's as unto the Lord. As I would submit to Christ, I need to submit to my husband. As the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wife be to her own husband in everything. What exception is there for a church in submission to Christ? Only when we feel like it, or only in areas that we choose. You can have all of this, but you can't have that, Lord. That's the activity of submission in everything. Thirdly and lastly, consider with me the attitude of submission. Go back to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Here is the attitude of submission. What should that attitude behind the submission be? The Bible says that the wife needs to see that she reverence her husband. Submission means not subverting your husband's will and desires through deception, manipulation, or whining. I have seen wives who will put on a veneer of submission to their husbands when they're in front of them, but then they go behind his back and use subversive tactics to get what they want. Or they're going to whine and they're going to nag until they get what they want, until in order for him to get some peace, he finally gives in. And that's not submission at all. What should the attitude behind submission be? Well, verse 33 says that the wife needs to reverence her husband. This is the Greek word phobeo. And it means to be in awe. It means to revere. It's talking about respect. This truth in the Word of God does not say that men deserve or are worthy of reverence or worthy of respect. It doesn't say that they're worthy of it. But the Lord says that a wife should give it. 1 Peter chapter 3, go with me over there again. We read these verses before, but particularly I want you to look at verses 5 and 6. 1 Peter 3, verse 5 says, "For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement." Here we find that Sarah was in subjection to her husband, Abraham, as God commands a wife to be. Subjection and submission of a wife, it's not a slavish, cringing submission to what one cannot avoid. The Bible indicates here that Sarah loved Abraham and admired him and was not ashamed to call him Lord. She was in subjection to her husband as God commands a wife to be. No doubt Abraham loved her like he should. But the Bible doesn't say that submission is only given when a husband treats a wife right or when she feels like it. And in the Bible, Sarah is held as a great example. She's honored in the Scriptures and held as a great example in God's Word of what a submissive wife should be. The attitude of submission is one of respect and reverence. Let's see some other Scriptures here. Look at Titus chapter 2 with me. We're about finished. Titus chapter 2. Look at verse 4. The context is verse 3 here. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. All right, so that's the context. The aged women are teachers of good things. What are those good things? Verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. What are these good things that the aged women are to teach the younger? To love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, to be chaste, to be keepers at home, to be obedient to their own husbands. God's word is very explicit here. Look with me in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Look at verse 16. Genesis 3:16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. God uses some pretty strong terms here. He says that husbands will rule over the wife. And he says in Titus that the older women are to teach the younger to be obedient to their husband. Those are pretty strong terms, especially for the feminists out there who have a problem with authority. There are many today, many wives who are frivolous and who are rebellious in their spirit. And by not submitting to the commands of God, they actually break the home. They pluck down their own home with their own hands instead of building it up because of a rebellious spirit. And God's word is very explicit. God knows, listen, God knows exactly what will bring fulfillment and exactly what will bring happiness and contentment to a life. God made you a certain way, just like He made men a certain way. And when we are outside of the role that God has designed us to be in, we can't find fulfillment and happiness. But when we submit to that role willfully and cheerfully as God has designed, all of a sudden, we find peace and contentment. We'll talk about this in the coming weeks. What is the role, responsibility of a wife? Not only to be submissive, but to be a keeper at home. I'm not amazed at how many times I have heard a woman, a wife, longing and lamenting the fact that she has to work a job. She would rather be home with her children, rather be in the home. And on some level, you know, initially there might be a desire. Oh, I want to get out there. I want to work. I want to do this. I want to experience that. And she gets out there and she finds that she's not fulfilled at all. The thing that brings fulfillment is when she's fulfilling the role that God has created her to fulfill. God knows what will bring fulfillment. And if a wife will submit herself to God and then to her husband, the results are amazing. What are the results? Well, look with me in Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. Verse 10. The Bible says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Skip down to verse 28. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. What is the result of a wife who willfully and cheerfully will submit to God first and submit to her husband? The result is the love and the adoration of her husband. The Bible says that he shall praise her, and his heart will safely trust in her. What is it that you really want, ladies, and really need? You want a sense of security. You want a sense of love. You want a feeling of safety and security and peace that comes when your husband loves you unconditionally and adores you. How do you get that? By being obedient to God and His commands. Her husband will safely trust in her. He will praise her. Not only will she get the love and adoration of her husband, but she's going to get the respect of her children. The Bible says here that her children will arise up and call her blessed. Not only do you get love and adoration and respect, but you also find favor with God. Remember 1 Timothy, or Titus rather, chapter 2, and verse 5, I'll read it for you. Titus 2, verse 5 says, in the context of a wife being discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to her own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. You find favor with God when we submit, and when a wife will submit herself to God and then to her husband. The results are amazing. And see, these things, the love and adoration of a husband, the praise of a husband, the respect of the children, the favor with God, those things are true riches that bring the joy and the happiness into a life. Those are what a godly wife should seek after. Submission in everything is the activity, but the attitude is of reverence and respect. He's my head. God put him there for my own protection and my own safety and my own well-being. I submit unto the Lord, and I submit myself willfully to my husband. That is what a godly wife seeks after. What's the ability? Being controlled by the Spirit of God. That's the key. Walking with the Lord, because the natural flesh is not inclined to humility and to submission. But as you walk with the Lord and you commit yourself to God, you have His divine enablement then to do and to be what He wants you to be. Amen. When a husband loves his wife as Christ loved the church, and a wife submits herself to her husband as the church is subject unto Christ, that bond and that entity that is formed is unshakable, unbreakable, and it's something that is beautiful in God's sight, because that's what He has ordained. It's what brings fulfillment and happiness and peace. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and truly furnished unto all good works. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to apply principle and truth and scriptures in our hearts and our lives, Father, that we may see the blessed result that comes from being obedient to Your word. Father, there are some things in the lives of families. Maybe there's some areas a wife is not in full submission to her husband. Lord, I pray that there would be time and opportunity and commitment to making those things right. Husbands and wives can communicate together, make right some wrongs, and Father, be able to see their home strengthened and built on the foundation of God's word. And Father, in doing so, we find and experience great blessing from the Lord. Bless our families, bless our homes, families of our church. Strengthen them. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.